This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Ha! Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old
yeah.
Maggie is back.
I am.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio.
Two on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. I got you for 3 hours until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Fleegs on the other side, but apparently he's not there today. I'm dealing exclusively with Ryan, I'm being told. So we'll see how that goes. I have high hopes. Patty B still back there. Go home. Don't you know the rules of the overnight and these night shows? You do your job, then you get the hell out of here. That's how it works. All right, everybody. How we doing on this Thursday morning? McMonagle here with you. And yes, we'll get to the Knicks. We'll get to Nolan Arenado and his bus ride. We'll get to fights at Starbucks and how it's always Tom Brady. But let's start with the obvious quarterback fix for the New York Giants. All this trial and tribulations, all the discussions, all of the meeting with this one, and what do they do, and how does this GM and coach move forward, and what's going on? Perfect! We've got our answer. That's right. I've been saying it forever. I don't know how likely it is, but the best case scenario for the New York Giants at the quarterback position is Aaron Rodgers. I've been saying it. The perfect scenario, the dream. You draft the young quarterback with the third pick. You bring him in. You give him a veteran quarterback. Joe Shane talked about this specifically, that if you want to draft a young guy, they believe, first of all, they have no quarterbacks in the room. So they got to bring in a veteran anyway, right? So you draft the young quarterback. You give him a veteran to learn under. You try and win as best you can right now. And then you have your future quarterback sitting there waiting in the wings, whether 8 or 10 games into this upcoming season or moving forward next year. And if that's the scenario, first off, before we even get into debating it between that and Matthew Stafford, if that's the scenario that the Giants decide, there is by far no better option for that scenario than Aaron Rodgers. I dare you at 888-808-1019 to dispute that fact with me. Call me up. Give me another option. I've been spinning the wheel every day at 3 o'clock and will continue to do so. I dare you to give me another quarterback option, a veteran quarterback option, to come in here and guide a young draft pick and help them start their career as a New York Giant. I dare you to tell me there's a better option. I dare you. Before we even get to the two options that the Giants are staring at, as in there's the other option of going after Matthew Stafford. Now, obviously, all of this is predicated on the idea that the Rodgers thing is possible, and I think it is. And if you heard the report earlier today, or earlier yesterday, rather, from Pro Football Focus, Mike Florio, Aaron Rodgers has reached out to the New York Giants. And if that is possible, and if that is true, let's go. Because the other option is the very ballyhooed, the very talked about Matthew Stafford coming over here. And I understand that, yes, you could make a very good argument, and I would have a tough time arguing with you, that if you are just looking at next year and the next 2 years, where are you going to get better quarterback play than Matthew Stafford? You're not. That's as good an option if you are looking to win right away. I don't know what you mean by win. I heard Pat Boyle talking about it. I appreciate his opinion. 6 to 7 wins, you double your 3-win victory. Who's looking to double a 3-win victory? Who's looking to double a 3-win season? Is that really what we're trying to do? Matthew Stafford is a great borderline Hall of Fame quarterback. He's won a championship, but he's also done it in Los Angeles with one of the great offensive minds in the sport. Let's be fair, as we start to break down Matthew Stafford to the Giants, like, we've seen Matthew Stafford with a bad football team. It's called his Lions career, which was one of the more underachieving. Well, I mean, he had Megatron. It's like, oh, well, he'll have neighbors. He had Megatron. What kind of winning did they do with Detroit? Like, he's been with a team, a fledgling franchise, a team that couldn't, you know, see straight, a team that couldn't get it all fixed. We've seen that with the Lions. Yeah, maybe there's a couple years they won some games. They went to the playoffs. But ultimately, we were sitting here wondering around what kind of quarterback he was and whether or not when the Rams traded for him, is he the real kind of quarterback? I mean, they're moving on from Goff. Goff took him to the Super Bowl. We know what his struggles were with a losing franchise like the Lions. The idea he's going to come here and turn this team that has, ready for it, offensive line issues. I know you're all concerned about it. A team that's defense was terrible last year. A team that won 3 games. As much as I'll tell you, yeah, they have neighbors, and I think Wandell Robinson's a good slot wide receiver. And they've got an offensive left tackle who should be, when healthy, one of the better ones in the league, and Illuminor did a decent job. And they should have money to help the wide receiver room and Theo Johnson, the tight end. And they should have money to upgrade the offensive line if they're not spending it all on $50 million to give their quarterback. Like, if you look at the actual options, what's the better scenario? Bringing in Matthew Stafford, who we've seen not be able to elevate a bad franchise and a bad football team past any point of real, legitimate success. Trade, if you compare it to the Rodgers deal, swapping first-round picks, getting a second and a conditional third. Like, if you want to give up a second-round pick and a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick, plus pay him $50 million to come in here just to win you 7-8 games and put this franchise back on stable footing, I don't see that as the best-case scenario. I'd much rather take my chances that Aaron Rodgers is coming here, and let's talk about that too. Let's talk about the motivation. What kind of quarterback? Like, we talk about the landing spot that is the New York Giants. What's going on with the team? 3 wins, a coach and GM that are absolutely on the hot seat. Like, what would be the motivation? And we talk whether or not it's a realistic thing that Aaron Rodgers would want to come here, the Giants would want him. Obviously, most people will tell you Matthew Stafford and the Rams are destined for a reunion. Right? Even the coach is talking about that, you know. Even McVay is talking about the idea that that would be their ultimate goal, is to bring back Matthew Stafford. But think about if both quarterbacks are willing to come here. What's the motivation for both quarterbacks? Because, to me, would I rather spend $50 million, trade away picks, to bring in a Matthew Stafford, who you can't tell me is coming to the New York Giants because he expects to win Super Bowls? He's not chasing championships if he's coming to the New York Giants. So what's his motivation? He's coming here to get paid. He's coming here to help his wife's podcast. He's coming here to get, you know, respect and play in a New York market and maybe set up a post-NFL career. And, like, what's his motivation? What are you getting? You're getting a 37-year-old quarterback on the last couple of years of his career trying to get paid one last time. He's won his Super Bowl. He's had his NFL career. I don't know if the Giants are going to help him. That's like, even legacy is coming here to the New York Giants going to really help his legacy? I mean, I suppose if he turns them around and gets them to a Super Bowl, it would. Short of that, like, you are getting a Matthew Stafford who wants to set up a post-NFL career, wants to help his wife and her media goals, and wants to get paid, as opposed to Aaron Rodgers, who is fighting for his life. Aaron Rodgers, who is coming here, and yeah, part of it is that I'm sure he'd rather go win, absolutely. And part of the story with Mike Florio, as well as him reaching out to the Giants, is what does that mean for the interest around him, around the league? You would imagine if he had a good conversation with Pittsburgh or had a good conversation with some other teams that have a much better chance of winning in the NFL, that maybe the Giants are a last case resort. Maybe the Giants are a place that, you know, other teams are shunning the idea of bringing Rodgers to their team. So, oh, he's got to come back to the New York Giants. Well, think about what you're getting. For a fraction of the money, for no draft equity at all, you're getting a four-time MVP, a Super Bowl champion, one of the greats to ever play the game, in desperation mode. Not to make money, not to set up his post-NFL career, not to become a spokesperson for ayahuasca. He is coming to the New York Giants for one reason: to justify the kind of player he is now. To not end his career with the bitterness of last year's debacle with the New York Jets. To come here and make a statement to you and me and the rest of the NFL and the New York Jets and Woody Johnson and Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji and the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they don't want him, or anybody else, that he is still capable of being Aaron Rodgers. He is still capable of playing the position, and he is still capable of putting up numbers and putting up victories. Which motivation do you think you would rather have from the quarterback on your team? It's not going to cost me money, and I still have the short-term chance of winning while I'm also drafting the young quarterback and setting myself up for the future. Because what happens in 3 years at the end of Matthew Stafford? What happens if you don't win, if you don't turn the franchise into some stable force, if you're not in an NFC championship game, if you're not in a Super Bowl, if you're not winning 10 games a year, at the end of that three-year run, where are you? Because with Matthew Stafford, I grant you, you're going to win 7 to 10 games. And where are you at the quarterback position then? And to me, they're not the New York Jets. I'm sorry, it is different when you have a 14-year playoff drought and you are the definition of a losing franchise, and having that hanging over your head is different than just being the embarrassment that the New York Giants have become. It is different. We've seen the Giants win a road playoff game in recent memory. This exact coach, this exact GM, they've done that. You know how many coaches and GMs you have to go through the last time the Jets made it to the playoffs and won a playoff game? You know how many adorations of people running the franchise? Hell, the owner was in London for 4 years. They haven't even had the same owner this entire time. They are not in the same position. Getting stable footing for the next 3 years is not the Giants' goal, nor should it be. It's about building a winner, sustained winning. 3 years of Matthew Stafford doesn't do that. And the other thing that's really bothering me about all of this is that when Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were allowed to come back, and I'll put it that exact way, allowed to come back, because there was no real, you know, vote of confidence from the owner. They were just allowed to come back. And I've talked about how much I hated that and how much I hated the way John Mara handled that media scrum after announcing that they would come back. But all I heard from the fans, all I heard from, I know Evan was big on this, a lot of fans were very concerned, well, The last thing I want is them to make some rash decision to save their jobs. The last thing I want is them to draft a quarterback they don't believe in under the guise of just keeping their jobs and Brian Daboll developing a young quarterback. And they'll have to make some miracle, you know, they think they got to make some miracle play for a franchise quarterback. That's the last thing I want. And then yet we're all pleased with the idea that they're going to go trade for a 37-year-old quarterback and pay him $50 million. Which one sounds like the more desperate move to save jobs? Right? That was a big concern. I don't want them doing things to try and jeopardize the franchise in order to save their jobs. What the hell is trading for a 37-year-old quarterback? Paying him $50 million. You want to talk about desperation? That's desperation. Drafting a quarterback that we don't know what his future is, and they're banking on their ability to coach him, that's balls. That's belief in themselves. That's belief in building something. Going to trade for Matthew Stafford is the Hail Mary we all concerned ourselves with. Trading for a 37-year-old quarterback who's been with bad teams and lost with bad teams, went to good teams with a great offensive-minded head coach who took Goff to the Super Bowl. That's when it worked for him. And we want to get him at 37. We want to get him motivated strictly on money. And we want to trade second and third round picks and pay him $50 million and eat into that cap space that we need to go pay wide receivers and to go fix the offensive line and bring in some defensive backs. Now is not the time for that for the New York Giants. Now is the time to draft a young quarterback and bring in a veteran to help him along. A quarterback that either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, that absolutely has not been given the praise of an Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams, right? I get it. Not even as much. Apparently people think Manning is going to be better. He hasn't even played in college. We're already looking at next year's draft as they're all going to be better than Shedeur and Cam Ward. Whatever. If they believe in him, you bring in this guy, you let him learn, you take it slow, you don't rush him in if you don't think he's not ready for it. You bring in a veteran quarterback like they discussed. And again, if that's the route, and I think that's the better route for this New York football team, and not spending $50 million on a 37-year-old quarterback and not going out there and trading draft equity for a 37-year-old quarterback only coming here for money. Because make no mistake, he's not coming here to win. He's coming here to make money. And nothing wrong with that. But that's what it'll be. He might be out there on the slopes with Tom Brady, you know, trying to figure out how to get to Vegas. You know what that would be about too? Money. So instead of a quarterback motivated strictly on getting a paycheck that he'll get the second he signs and won't have to do a damn thing for it, how about you draft the young quarterback, give this coach an opportunity to do what he was hired for, bring in a veteran to guide him along, and tell me where you find a Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota? Where are you going? You bring in Aaron Rodgers, not motivated by money, motivated by saving his name. Motivated by proving he's not what he was last year. Motivated to prove that it wasn't him. It was the owner who just got the only F grade from the players' voting system of any owner in the NFL. One owner, Woody Johnson, got the F. And if you saw how last year was handled, and I know he was hurt, and I know he didn't have a great year, and I know he's a million miles away from MVP Aaron Rodgers, I get it. But look at that franchise. Look what the players tell you about how that franchise is run. Look at how they fired the coach. Look at how the head coach now has to talk about how he has to calm the nerves of the players who are all pissed. They're moving on from the same quarterback who's looking to prove his name. I would rather have a motivated Aaron Rodgers on a one-year deal that doesn't cost me that much money, doesn't cost me any picks, allows me to still draft my future quarterback, gives that future quarterback one of the greats in NFL history to learn from, while he is motivated to resurrect his name, while he is motivated to prove all of us wrong. I'll take a motivated, pissed off Aaron Rodgers over a money hungry, and that's probably not fair, but that's what he's coming here for. Money hungry might be a bit strong, but make no mistake why he would be with the Jets. Matthew Stafford would be here for the $50 million. That's why he's leaving. That's why he wants more. That's why the team has allowed him to go out there and seek his value, because he wants $50 million. Let someone else give it to him. Let someone else pay for the final 3 years at 50 per for a quarterback who couldn't win when he had a struggling franchise. Same as Aaron Rodgers, but I'd rather have him on the cheap, no draft picks, motivated to prove he's Aaron Rodgers and nothing else. If he's reached out to the Giants, they would be foolish not to pick up the phone. 888-808-1019. So we start there. The Giants quarterback position and how I still believe, and I know many of you disagree with me, give me a call, 888-808-1019. I still believe there's good football for a year of Aaron Rodgers, and here's the best part. If there isn't, you go right to the young quarterback. And you start this rebuild properly. And you have money to fix the offensive line. You have money to go out there and try and get a wide receiver. And you're paying your quarterback nothing, as opposed to giving $50 million for a 37-year-old quarterback who's going to be thrilled the second he signs it. Give me the pissed off Aaron Rodgers developing a young quarterback like he did with Love. And we could say he didn't love. I know it's a bit weird to say that. You could say he didn't love the idea of developing Love, whatever. Love's had nothing but nice things to say, and Love's turned into one hell of a quarterback. Even if it's just through osmosis of watching him operate, I'll take that any day of the week. Give me the young quarterback. Give me the pissed off and motivated Aaron Rodgers. That is the best case scenario for the New York Giants.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Yeah, that's right. I'm crazy. I want Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. And, you know, I talk a lot about when I view things a lot. I view things through the prism a lot of best case, worst case, right? And whether or not the juice is worth the squeeze. And I always look for best case, try to avoid worst case. Let me ask you honestly, Giant fans, at 888-808-1019, or just sensible football fans. Maybe I'm wrong. Looking at where the Giants are with how the owner spoke when he decided to bring back Shannon Dable, right? And everybody's fear of, like I've heard Lori Rubenson talk about this, she doesn't want to trade up to get a quarterback because she doesn't want to trade draft equity during a regime that could get fired if they don't win games. Right? If they don't win enough games, they're going to get fired. You have the young quarterback. You'll have to, you know, now it's a quarterback they didn't draft. Oh, the disaster that would be. Right? And I've heard that from a lot of people. What a disaster that would be. Right? This regime that's on unstable footing that could be fired next year if they give up draft equity, but even if they get a quarterback, right? And then they don't win enough games and the owner isn't happy and they fire him. Now you bring in a new coach and a new GM with a stuck with a young quarterback that they drafted that they don't believe in or they don't have any faith in or they didn't like, and what a disaster that would be. Well, let me ask you a question. What's worse, right? And we could argue whether that's a more likely situation with the drafted quarterback, but what's worst case scenario? What if you trade for Matthew Stafford? You give up a bunch of picks, and let's be honest, probably as much or more than it would take to move up to 1 from 3. I mean, similar. You trade for a 37-year-old quarterback. You pay him $50 million over 3 years. You're probably messing with the cap, so you're taking the cap hit later on so you can give yourself money this year to go and spend on the items I talked about, interior linemen, wide receivers, whatever, defense, D tackles, whatever you got to go out and spend money on. You're going to try and help yourself cap-wise this year and pay the money down the line. So what happens if he comes in and is complacent because he made his $50 million or gets injured, and we've seen Matthew Stafford, and God knows you all think the offensive line's so bad he's bound to get injured, but say he gets injured or he's bad or it doesn't work, the mix between him and Dable. Now, I know there's a reasonable level of the floor is going to be higher with Matthew Stafford, but still, think about the scenario where it doesn't work with Matthew Stafford. You win 5 or 6 games, the owner's still not happy, and they fire Shannon Dable. What do you think a new regime would rather come into? A new GM, a new head coach. Would they rather come into a situation where they have a young quarterback that this team drafted, sometimes I can't say words at 2:30 in the morning. The previous regime drafted him. They come in. It's a young quarterback not making any money. We've seen this with Josh Rosen. 2 for 2. Josh Rosen with the Cardinals. They drafted him 10th overall. Next year, they're awful. He's a disaster. They trade him for a second-round pick, and he was a disaster, and then they draft Kyler Murray. Would you rather come in as a new GM, new head coach, into a situation where they drafted quarterback, not making any money, or a quarterback making $50 million, where the cap hits are getting more and more worse for you than it was for the previous regime? They traded away capital to get said quarterback. So now I'm coming in, as opposed to just drafting a quarterback third and bringing in a veteran quarterback. My money would be Aaron Rodgers. But I could draft a quarterback, bring in Aaron Rodgers or a veteran quarterback. Even if that fails, the new regime comes in with just a rookie quarterback that they might not like. That's it. Or a second-year quarterback, rather, that they might not like. If I go out and trade assets and pay $50 million over the next 3 years, 50 per, to Matthew Stafford, what about the regime coming in then? Who the hell's going to want to take that job? A failed Matthew Stafford making $50 million a year and minus draft picks? That's a worse situation if they fire Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Worse. Who's going to want that job? What would you rather have? An inexperienced second-year quarterback that I can move on from and draft another one? Because that's what you'll be, right? If you lose in both these scenarios, the worst-case scenario is you're a losing franchise at the top of the draft. Would I rather just move on and take a second or a third-round pick, whatever I can get, for Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders if I don't like him and he was terrible this year? And go ahead and draft another quarterback or do whatever I want? Or do I want to come in with a 38-year-old quarterback now under contract for the next 2 years and I'm missing my second and third round pick because I traded to bring him in? Which one's the worst case scenario? Now, I get it. What's best case scenario? Best case scenario is they bring in Matthew Stafford. He's unbelievable. The Giants make a huge leap and are playing a playoff game. But even that best case scenario, I could argue drafting the right quarterback of the future is a better case scenario over the long haul. All right, best case scenario in the short term is Matthew Stafford comes in. He turns this franchise around. Him and Brian Daboll click. The offensive line they're able to fix. Andrew Thomas stays healthy. Illuminor is your right tackle. Runyon is better this year. The center finds himself. The offensive line's better. You're able to pick up maybe a lesser, not maybe T. Higgins, who might still be franchised and not available to anyone. But you bring in a lesser wide receiver or whatever. You improve that offense. Malik Nabers makes a huge leap. Tracy is great. And this offense really works. They score a ton of points. You got, Sexy Dexy and Burns getting after the quarterback. The young talent in the defensive backfield takes the next leap, and you're a good football team, and you make the playoffs. Right? That's a great scenario and best-case scenario in the short term. But what's best-case scenario overall for the New York Giants and the long term and sustained winning? Being right with the rookie quarterback in the draft, without question. Without question. Not paying him for the first 4 years, being able to spread that money around much more efficiently, and have a 10-year run with a quarterback like Eli Manning who can lead the franchise for a decade. That's best-case scenario. So I think I can make a strong argument under the guidelines of best-case, worst-case. Best-case scenario is drafting the young quarterback and being set up for a decade, and the worst-case scenario is being wrong with Matthew Stafford, looking at a situation for your next coach and GM to deal with a 38-year-old quarterback making $50 million for the next 2 years and missing draft picks. How does that set you up? What GM wants to step into that situation? It all points to drafting the quarterback, bringing in the veteran, and for me and my money, ain't nobody better than Aaron Rodgers for it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. James in North Arlington. What's up, James?
Well, thanks for calling on me. It's pretty cool to start the show off at 2:30 in the morning. I know, I just moved back to Vermont, so this is great. I'm almost back to North Arlington. So as wild as it sounds, it's not as wild as it seems. And if you think about it, what the Jets did by drafting Rodgers, but they drafted him as what they thought was going to be a savior, and we all saw what happened. It makes a lot more sense, as you're saying, to draft a quarterback, a rookie quarterback. I don't care in what round you get him, because you no doubt you need a rookie quarterback. Even if you don't draft Rodgers, I'm sorry, even if you don't pick Rodgers and you wait till like June, I don't think anybody wants him. It makes no sense to pay Stafford, like you said, $50 million, because isn't that what the Jets did in a sense? It's just, we're just changing names from Rodgers to Stafford 2 years ago? I mean, because it seems to be that's right. What you really go with that.
No, you're right. The difference is, you know, Matthew Stafford is coming off a very successful year. Aaron Rodgers was coming off a down year, but still, he's a little bit older. And when they got him, Stafford's coming off a better year. And obviously, the Achilles season-ending injury in his first year with Rodgers made a huge difference.
But the same thing can happen again. I mean, he can get injured also.
No, Matthew Stafford can get injured. Absolutely,
he's never played in the cold. And in some ways, you really think about it. If the Giants did pick Stafford, it's almost like they're trying to be like the Jets, because some people did make the case that they didn't really ever want Rodgers, and now all of a sudden the Giants are trying to be the same as the Jets. We don't need that.
Yeah, I don't really – I understand you're getting a veteran quarterback. I don't necessarily associate it with the Jets. I mean, I don't look at it as, hey, if they bring in – everyone who brings in a veteran quarterback now is trying to be the Jets. I know it would be trading for a 37-year-old, I guess. I don't think it's about being the Jets. I don't think it's about trying to be anybody else. It's about what's best for the franchise, right? And I could understand Brian Daboll and Joe Shane at their wits' end at the quarterback position saying, why am I gambling anymore? Like, my job's up. You know, we're not going to be here next year if we don't win some games. And I am tired of not knowing what's going on with the quarterback position. If I can get Matthew Stafford, I know what I'm getting. I'm getting a top 10 quarterback in this NFL, maybe better than that, but a top 10 quarterback for sure. A guy who just played, you know, very well this year and, you know, gave the Eagles as good a run as any other team in the playoffs this year. Threw the ball well in that second half in the cold weather. I'm not overly concerned. I know he's never played in the elements. I understand he played with the Lions in a dome, and I understand he's played out in LA. But I thought he looked okay in the second half of that Eagles game, better than okay. And he's one of the strong. It's not like he's Chad Pennington or, not strong-armed quarterback. I mean, this is a guy who's one of the better arms in the NFL. I'm not overly concerned about him throwing the football at MetLife. I'm really not. So that's one of my lesser concerns. But it's not about comparing them to anybody else. It's about what's best for the franchise. It's what's best for the franchise. And do you want to bring in, like, again, we talk so much about doing a desperation Hail Mary for their job. Even if this sounds exciting to a lot of fans, this is the Hail Mary. This is the I got to do something to save my job move. It is. Even if you view it as the best option, that's what it is. Taking a quarterback when you don't have a quarterback and you have the third pick in the NFL draft, taking a quarterback there, whatever the quarterback draft feels like to the Mel Kuypers of the world, or the Todd McShays of the world, or just the NFL in general, taking a quarterback, we've seen it, and a lot of, some of them have failed, some of them have been good. But you take that quarterback third overall, that's not a desperation move, that's the NFL pattern. That's what NFL teams do. That's what's expected. You're trying to find the right guy to lead your franchise. That's what trading for a 37-year-old quarterback and paying him $50 million, that's the Hail Mary move. That's the, oh, my God, I got to save my job. That's the, oh, my God, did you hear John Mara speak when he decided to keep us on? Like, that's the move that we've been panicked about. Not drafting the quarterback. That's rote. That's what NFL teams do when you're picking third with no quarterback on your roster. It's what you do. So, if the fear is that you're going to bring the next regime into a bad situation, don't do anything, and I've heard this from a lot of people, numero uno, don't do anything as a lame duck coach and GM that jeopardize the job of the next regime, right? A lot of people are fearful of that prospect. I want to make this job appealing. I don't want to have anything on, like, don't trade up and get draft picks taken off, because if Shedeur Sanders doesn't work, and you're getting fired. you know, now you've lost draft picks. Now you've brought in a new head coach and GM who aren't attached to the quarterback. We've seen what changing quarterbacks do on young quarterback, changing head coaches do with young quarterbacks. Like that whole fear of what comes next if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are fired. That has been forefront on many a mind dealing and thinking about what the Giants should do. And although I agree that, you know, that the idea of them losing with a young quarterback is more likely than losing with Matthew Stafford, if that were to ever happen, it's a far worse scenario. Trading draft picks for Matthew Stafford and then not having it work leads you in a worse position for the next team. Now you're coming in with a failed 38-year-old making $50 million a year, and you've lost picks trading for him. Like, if it was just a straight-up free agent, I'd feel better about it. Now I'm trading picks, paying him $50 million. What's the next GM going to come in and do? Play him. He's got no choice. And then we'll be saying the same things. Then you want to say, then you get to your point about being the Jets. Then we'll be talking about an either injured or a failed 38-year-old quarterback that they have to run it back with. And nobody wants to do that. And everyone's going to be saying, hey, let's just eat the money, do what we got to do. We've got a new head coach. We've got a new GM. Let's just run this thing clean. Let's get rid of Matthew Stafford. That's where we'll be in a year. John in Seaford. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, thanks. I was here from Jets, but with the Giants point,
yeah,
I agree with you. Like, why would you want Stafford? Like, you guys aren't at a win now scenario. I get it. Yeah, you know, Mara wants you guys to improve.
Yeah.
But how much are you really going to improve with Stafford? And with Rodgers, like, I think Rodgers would be great, right? You get him on the cheap.
Yeah.
But would he really want to play for the Giants? You know,
well,
like,
apparently the reports are, right? the reports from Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk is that he's reached out to the Giants.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, on Twitter, all these guys.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. Absolutely. Yeah. And especially with Aaron Rodgers, who tells you nobody knows what he's thinking. He doesn't leak a damn thing. So, I mean, it would have to be coming from the Giants, theoretically. So, yeah, of course. Listen, but this is what I do. I react. You know, I'm reacting off reports. I can't ignore the report,
yeah,
or I can't just dismiss it as a flat-out lie. Right now, I do believe Rodgers is desperate to play another year and not have his career end the way it ended with the Jets last year. I do believe that. And if the 49ers of the world, if the Pittsburgh Steelers of the world, or the other teams, the, I don't know, Minnesota Vikings of the world, the Los Angeles Rams, right? Because that's the other report, that if Stafford gets moved, that would be a connection between Rodgers and the Rams. But, like, if he's getting the idea Stafford's not being moved, if he's talked with Pittsburgh and talked with other teams and is getting the cold shoulder, like, would he be, like, I think he's desperate to play. And you could look at the Giants, and I'm sorry, I know, you know, the offensive line isn't great, and he's destined to fail or get hurt. But ultimately, you're looking at having a stud number one wide receiver in Malik Nabers. You've got a young rookie running back who, you know, this side of Bucky Irving was the best rookie running back in the league this year. A left tackle that is all pro when healthy, and Wandale Robinson and maybe Slayton coming back, and money under the cap to go add offensive weapons. So, like, I think you could do a lot worse. Like, for me, I know, you're gonna go to the Raiders, because that's the other team that's kind of looking for a quarterback. Tom Brady is, like, trying to get Matthew Stafford. Like, where are the other options if he just wants to play and the winning franchises are not calling? Like, what's a better option for him? Plus, he gets to stick it to the Jets and Woody Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I know. Trust me, I know that. He's very limited to where he's got to go. See, maybe he goes to the Giants. You never know. You guys think he trade that pick down, maybe, out of three?
No. No. This only works. Let me make this clear for anybody listening. I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be the next quarterback of the New York Giants unless it comes with drafting the young quarterback. I'm not bringing him in just to be the guy. And, like, if I pass, I would rather bring in, like, I guess you could do worse, especially if they're trying to keep their jobs. But me, the reason I love the Aaron Rodgers thing is partially to develop the young quarterback. That's partially it. If they don't like any of these young quarterbacks and don't plan on drafting them third overall, then I have a different. Then I don't know what I want to do. I guess I'm more apt to trade for Matthew Stafford if they don't love the quarterback. I still don't like that idea. I still believe everything I said about his motivation and worst case scenario moving forward and the Hail Mary from the GM and coach. Like, I still believe in all of that. But if it's about, say, if it's about winning games this coming year, I don't know where the other option is. We've been spinning the wheel, and we will in 14 minutes. I don't know where else you're going. I mean, the options aren't very good. So, I mean, that's why I think they have to draft the young quarterback. I think they absolutely have to. And again, you know, if they have Aaron Rodgers on the roster in free agency or whatever, like, then I could even see trying to trade back up into the first round and getting, you know, Jackson Dart or one of these other guys in the second round. I could be sold on that, but I wouldn't like it. I want to draft the quarterback third. We've already heard now, there's a report a couple hours ago from Schefter that Abdul Carter has a possible broken bone in his foot and that he's seeing doctors right now to decide whether he needs surgery or not. Now, the surgery knocks you out for 4 to 8 weeks. They're not saying it's going to impact his draft status anyway. He might not now do anything at the combine. I have no idea what it's going to impact, but like the idea that those guys can't be busts is ridiculous. Like, that's the other thing, man. We constantly talk about what the bust quarterback means for a franchise. Like, it's okay to have a bust at any... Like, if you're picking third and the player isn't good, I don't care if he's a shutdown corner who everyone thinks could be a wide receiver. I don't care if he's a defensive end edge rusher. I don't care if it's a wide receiver. I don't care if it's a left tackle. I don't care what position it is. Quarterback. To me, it's all in the same boat. You can't miss with a third pick. Plain and simple. I don't care what... Like, oh, well, if it's a left tackle, it doesn't hurt. Evan Neal's killing them. You guys are telling me years later that we're not good enough, the Giants aren't good enough to draft a quarterback because of the offensive line. So what's the impact? What are the tentacles and the impact of drafting a failed offensive lineman seventh overall? It's impacting the franchise to the point we're afraid to draft a quarterback third overall. Like, failing on any of these picks with any type of player sucks. It's not that much worse if it's a quarterback. In fact, it might be better because if you recognize the failure right away, you probably have more value with a quarterback and someone willing to take a chance who liked him. Like, if Hunter can't guard anybody and is getting beat left and right and is just an absolute terrible player, what's his value? If Abdul Carter comes in and doesn't get a sack, like, what's his value? At least the quarterback, because of the promise of the nature of the promise of the position, maybe you get something. Right? Rosen with the Cardinals got a, Fleece told me it was a second round pick to jog my memory. They got a second round pick for a quarterback who ended up being terrible and is out of football. You're not going to get a second round pick for a failed, you know, edge rusher who didn't get to the quarterback with a broken foot. I just, the more and more I think about it, you have to draft the quarterback, bring in a veteran quarterback, which they've discussed, and please, tell me who's better. That is the better option than even bringing in a Matthew Stafford. And listen, the Giants seem to be hot and heavy. So do the Raiders and Tom Brady. We'll get to that fun story. But I don't know where this franchise goes if they're not drafting a young quarterback. Because I don't view it the same. I heard Pat talking, and I hear what he's saying. What does winning 7 or 8 games do for the New York Giants? Do you really think it changed? All right, so it stops the planes from flying overhead. Okay. And listen, I'll be the first to tell you I'm tired of the dead seasons in October, and hopefully that would at least stop that, right? And I understand that's a low bar, but I don't view, like, and again, to win 3 games is almost hard to do. There are a bunch of bad teams in the NFL getting bad quarterback play who still win 6-7 games. Like, I don't care who the quarterback is next year. There's a chance the Giants are good enough by the grace of God. Like, let's be honest, I don't think Daniel Jones is any good. They won 9 games. Like, you could bring in a Justin Field or anybody and win 6-7-8 games. Like, we just talked about the improvement. If you improve the offensive line, they have some offensive weapons. They do have some good players on defense. Like, and especially if you're not drafting the quarterback, you bring in a Carter or a Hunter. Like, even without Matthew Stafford, you're looking at 6-7 wins. It's hard to lose three games. I know they've been so good at it over the last couple of years, but it's hard. Like, the idea of, oh, Matthew Stafford at least wins you 7-8 games. A lot of teams with bad quarterbacks win 7-8 games. Like, that shouldn't be, that's not enough for me. It's not. And they don't have this playoff drought. Like, I know I talk about the Jets in a different manner. I think they're in a different position. I do. I think the playoff drought matters. If the Giants were on a 12, 15-year playoff drought, I'd be singing a different tune. They just won a playoff game not too long ago. This head coach that we all hate, this GM that we can't wait to get rid of, they won a playoff game. The Jets have to go back to Rex. You know how many coaches in between? How many GMs between him and Tannenbaum? Like, it's a different world. It is. It's a different world for me. I think the Jets are about winning now and ending this disaster with the only F. We could talk about John Mara till we're blue in the face, and he has done a terrible job since taking over for his father. Right? And he did win a Super Bowl, but he didn't make the hires. Like, since the decision making has been at his feet, John Mara has made bad hire after bad hire. I still respect him. I still think he's a honest, good guy who's trying very hard. And I don't think he meddles as much as people say he does. I think he does allow guys to, like, you know, did he hang them with some extra pressure that he didn't need to with the way he spoke at the press conference? Yes, I think that was a bad moment for John Mara. I disagree with him. But we could talk to, we're blue in the face about John Mara. The Jets and Woody Johnson are an absolute disaster. They're the only F in the player voting, the only F. And like that, I mean, the whole Jets situation, maybe we'll get into it, 888-808-1019. I mean, the ramifications of yesterday's interview or yesterday's press conference with the new head coach, Aaron Glenn, are, yeah, I'll get into it a little bit. Like, I think he set himself up for failure. Like, talking about winning now and getting rid of Aaron Rodgers and having real nowhere to go at the quarterback position, as we'll spin the wheel in a few minutes to see what their next option could be. Like, and now he's put winning on them. That's about winning now. All these decisions about winning now, and that's what we're going to do. And don't stop asking me about the quarterback yet. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. And they've got an owner who's a disaster, only owner in the NFL graded as an F. And you want to talk about meddling? Boomer referenced the idea, I was listening yesterday morning. Boomer referenced the idea that the decision on Aaron Rodgers was made before Aaron Glenn and Muji were part of the team. I mean, he made that reference. I don't know if it's true or not. But there's some thought, and it's hard not to think this, that Aaron Rodgers and and that's why you get the idea of, oh, the Pat McAfee show and the distractions. This owner thought he was bringing in a guaranteed winner and was pissed when the quarterback didn't deliver. And then the quarterback's knocking the organization for leaks and everything else, making comments about, you know, he's going to get cut by teenagers after the reports of the kids running the franchise. Like, who knows? Who knows why Aaron Rodgers isn't here? But then you got the coach standing up there defiant, getting mad at the media, talking about win now. What if they win five games and this coach is talking about, well, it's all about winning now? How are those angry players who graded the owner as an F going to feel about this coach when there's speculation the owner made the decision, it's all about winning, and they continue to lose? These two franchises, man, you can't make it up how bad our football teams are. You can't make it up. They're not only bad, they're terrible at decision-making. They're terrible at they're not only bad on the field, but it's so obvious that it's because they're bad at understanding what needs to be good on the field. Like, it's as bad as it gets. It's as bad as it gets. And that's why for the New York Giants, as they have an option. And listen, the Jets will have it too, maybe at 7. And maybe we'll find out when we spin the wheel at 3 o'clock if they have an option to move up in this draft and take a quarterback. Which to me, as opposed to anything else the Jets could do, is about as good an option as possible. So we have to watch the NFL draft. We have to watch free agency. To me, perfect scenario, if I get to rest my head at the end of April on a pillow, knowing I get to go to sleep knowing that Cam Ward is the future and Aaron Rodgers is the present, that's about as good a job as I could expect from the New York Giants.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.